Well, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you all doing? We got to wake up in here. It's so silent and so solemn. So I got a question for you. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Okay. One more time. If you're happy and you really know it, clap your hands. Okay. We got to raise the vibration in here. It sounds so solemn. Well, it's July 30th and July is behind us. And we're moving into the rest of the year. So the year is almost over. But it's a great day to be here. And I want to thank every person that is here because you could have been anywhere. You could have been in Paris. You could have been in Saint-Tropez. You could have been in the Greek Isles, but you're here with me. So I feel really special. Not that you were planning to go to those places, but I feel really special. Today, my talk was inspired by a book that I was reading in June by a New York Best Times seller named Sonia Choquette. She's also a part of the Hay House family. I don't know her personally, but I have seen her live, and she's someone to really enjoy in person. Her book is entitled Your Three Best Superpowers: Meditation, Imagination, and Intuition. Your three best superpowers: meditation, imagination, and intuition. And when I saw the title of the book, I got really excited about reading it because it's just as Lee mentioned earlier, it's all about the divine within. Because we know in this teaching that that is exactly where everything that we need to know actually is. So I'm excited today to talk about that. In addition to that, I was inspired by seeing the movie Wonder Woman. When it came out, how many went to see Wonder Woman? I was excited to see it because I hadn't seen Wonder Woman in a really long time. And then, of course, Spider-Man is out now. One of the kids just told me a minute ago that he can stick to a wall. And I thought, well, that must be nice to be able to do that. And I love the fact that he actually believes that he can stick to a wall. That's exciting. Also, Transformers is out. And one of my favorite movies is Hancock with Will Smith, where he doesn't really know he's a superhero, but he kind of finds out that he is. Needless to say, I believe that humanity seems to be totally intrigued and even fascinated by the concept of a superhero. A superhero who can save the day. A superhero that can come along and help save us from evil and darkness and all those things that we fear. To save the mortals because we seem to lack the capacity to be able to save ourselves. Now, I will tell you that this is a dualistic perspective. Religion kind of gives us that perspective as well, but it's interesting to think about. It was in 1938 during the Great Depression and also during the World War II era when the first superhero was created. And he was faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. He was able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. Yes, he was the Man of Steel. During the day, he was a quiet reporter named, I think it was Clark Gable, right? Oh, Clark Kent. Sorry about that. I get my superheroes mixed up. Soon after that came Wonder Woman, Diana Prince. She was the Greek goddess of truth. She was raised on Paradise Island, if you can imagine that. And her race was Amazon, whatever that means, right? And her weapon of choice was a lasso of truth. And she would spin that lasso and throw it, and when it would catch someone, they were obligated to tell her the truth, right? It was the lasso of truth. She used her accessories. I love it, girl power. She used her accessories as powerful weapons. So she had these indestructible bracelets for her defense, and she had a tiara. Some people think that was a belt she was wearing on her head, but that was actually a tiara. And the tiara was a boomerang. And she wore these sandals that she got from Hermes, the Greek messenger god, that allowed her to travel at lightning speed. What I love about Wonder Woman is she was beautiful. And she was fierce, and she dealt with war and injustice and inequality. I believe superheroes are definitely a metaphor for how mankind actually sees himself, physically and the world around him. Perhaps we see ourselves as too weak, as mortal beings sometimes, to overcome the perceived evils of the world, and needing some hero in a cape or wearing a suit of armor or wearing a shield or a spear to be able to save us. I believe it is one of the ways that we acknowledge that there is a higher power that has great courage, that has great strength, and that has great intelligence. But metaphysics teaches us that there really is no enemy without. There's only the inner me within for us to address. By us learning today how to cultivate these three superpowers, meditation, imagination, and intuition, you'll be equipped to overcome the inner darkness that appears to impede our freedom and our peace of mind. Because who doesn't want to live joyously and harmoniously and prosperously and abundantly? We all want to do that, right? And peacefully. Today, we're going to talk about finding the peace within. Many people feel powerless to make real change in their lives, and some people even feel helplessness. It's like there's so much going on in the world that a lot of us feel out of control. And so we feel like we've lost our divine connection. Sometimes it's hard to feel like you're safe and everything is okay. As a result of us feeling that way, we end up suffering with anxiety, low-level depression, stress, and those things lead to obesity. They lead to addictions. They lead to dis-ease, and they lead to mental instability. But you can really be restored to your spiritual power and feel the emptiness inside of yourself from within. So you don't have to go anywhere. It's just as Lee mentioned earlier when he read the fable. The divinity is truly within you. Meditation, imagination, and intuition are our natural God-given powers. So it's a power, but it's natural and it's God-given, and there's nothing new about it. There's nothing strange about it. There's nothing unusual about it at all. In fact, we are already using these powers. We just tend to misuse them, right? We use them in an unconscious way, expecting lack, limitation, difficulty, and problems. Like, we just automatically go there. So today I want to help you not take yourself on a journey you don't need to take yourself on doing that. Using these three best powers is about really understanding and aligning yourself with the natural principles that govern the workings of our universe. And learning to use these principles is in the most conscious and creative way, because we want to be conscious, because we are deliberately creating our world, even when we don't realize it. Here's what I say. Why not cultivate these three innate powers? Because they are free, right? They're easy, and they're in your possession. You were already born with all of these things. And they work if you work them. When you combine them and you do them consistently, what happens is you get to improve your health, you get to ease your stress, eliminate your fears, and add to your abundance. So I have a question for you. If you're in, can you say with me, I'm all in? Yes, I'm all in. Okay, so what I plan to do with you today is educate you about these three superpowers. Then we're going to activate these three superpowers. And then when you go home, you're going to cultivate them in your life. Sound like a plan? Now, educate. Let me explain what I mean by that. I actually didn't come here to teach you anything, right? I just came to remind you, because the truth of the matter is that you already know what I'm saying. You already know it. So I'm not teaching you anything. And the word educate actually means to draw from within. We think it means to go to school, right? And let somebody else tell us something. But that's not what educate really means. The root word means to draw from within what is already there. So that's what I mean by educate. Activate. The thing I love about the action heroes is they were action heroes. And that means you have to do something, right? You have to do something in order to activate those powers. You can't be a spectator. It is not a spirituality. It's not a spectator sport. And living a happy, joyful life is not a spectator sport. And cultivate. To cultivate something means to develop it. It means to actually take the time out to do your growth work, so that you can show up and shine in the way that you want to. So let's get started. Let's activate superpower number one. That is meditation. Meditation. The psalmist has said in chapter 46 in the 10th verse, "Be still and know that I am God." be still and know that I am God. We tend to think that we have to go on some grand spiritual quest in order to discover God or to connect with God. But this is simply not true. You don't have to go anywhere, and you don't have to do anything. You actually can sit and be where you are and be who you are in order to access God. Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, said it like this: the language of God is silence. The language of God is silence. And what he did is he would take time out every night, 1 hour, to just sit in silence to see what happens. Dr. Ernest Holmes said, prepare your mind to receive the best that life has to offer. Prepare your mind to receive the best that life has to offer. And you can do that by meditation. And then Jesus, the master teacher, was always aware, I believe, of his divine connection with Source. I think he also meditated. You know, they used to say in the Bible that he was asleep. I think he was meditating because really when sleep was used in the Bible, it usually referred to someone who was dead, right? So there's a story that's told that he was on the Sea of Galilee in a boat and the waters were raging. And the disciples tried to wake him up because they were afraid that they were going to drown, that they were going to die. And when they woke him up, he was able to calm the storm. And he said, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? And then he spoke to the waves, he spoke to the winds, and everything stopped. And the question they asked is, what kind of man is this? I believe that Jesus was meditating. And he was in tune to the divine like we all are. And so he was not afraid. And so meditation is a way for you to help you to not be afraid. But simply put, meditation is the daily practice of quieting your mind. It's just you quieting your mind. That's all. It's not, you don't have to do something special. I like to think of it as a present moment awareness. You're just in the present moment, nowhere else but right where you are. It is conscious contact with God. I like to think of it as sitting with God, right? So we get to set aside the distractions of the world and connect with the deep essence of our being. We get to align ourselves with the eternal presence. And do you guys not realize that is an awesome privilege, that the same power that created the universe and the galaxies and the stars and the moon and the grass and the grasshoppers and the praying mantises, you actually get the opportunity to take time out to sit and be with that presence? It's a big deal. It really is. When we're meditating, we're in a relaxed alpha state. And your brain waves are actually very different. So it's really a good idea to do it in the morning before you start having all those things bombard you. So what happens when you meditate? What actually happens? Well, I did a lot of research. I didn't just read this book. I did a lot of research and a lot of cross-referencing because I really wanted to give you some good information. And I am, being a salesperson by nature, I want to influence you to change your life. I'm going to sell you on you. How about that? So what happens is we move outside of time and space when you are meditating, when you clear your mind, when you quiet your mind, and you enter into the realm of timelessness. You actually get more time when you meditate. It is that place where divine spirit lives. It softens your heart. It calms your mind. It clears your head. It eases your stress. We get to detach from the monkey mind because the monkey mind is always thinking about all the things that it has to do. And when you do it consistently, you are able to keep your thoughts from controlling you because many people, it's our thoughts that get in the way, right? It's like, what are you thinking? And we think we can't control the thoughts that come in, but we actually can. And meditation is a great way to do that. If you're in a state of panic about something, you can reset your panic button when you meditate. You can protect your serenity, and you actually get to stretch time. Now, meditation has been around for a really long time. Do you know that it has been agreed upon by archaeologists and scholars that meditation began more than 5,000 years before Christ or before the Common Era? And that's a long time, and it started with the Vedas. But it's been around for a really long time, and it came to the West, where we are, during the 18th century. And even in 1979 at the University of Massachusetts, they actually started to teach mindfulness to help people to manage stress. They also use it to treat chronic illness. And of course, today it's more popular. People talk about it, but it's a great thing to know how to do. Proof that it works. How many of you have ever seen the movie Doing Time, Doing Vipassana? Anybody ever seen that movie? It's really cool. Go to YouTube and look it up. It's called Doing Time, Doing Vipassana. In the 1990s, in India, the largest and toughest prison population they had adopted a unique rehabilitation program. And what they did was it was a 10-week course where they allowed these prisoners to experience Vipassana, which is a meditation process. What they found was revolutionary. It turned out that the people who were released never returned, and the people who were there were getting along very well. Check it out. It's a really good way for you to see that meditation really works, because these were hardened criminals. These weren't the easy people. These were the people who had done, most of them had life. Now, meditation has been proven to also improve your health, right? We've heard of people with PTSD and things like that that are using this as a way to have peace of mind. It lowers your blood pressure. It decreases your heart rate. Studies show that it does. It helps you with insomnia. It boosts your immune system, lowers your cholesterol levels. So there are a lot of benefits to meditation. I once heard a song that I really like. It's by a guy named Bob Sima. And the song says, the main words that resonate with me are, meditation is the medication to cure the illusion of separation. Isn't that cool? Meditation is the medication to cure the illusion of separation, because it's us feeling separate from source that makes us feel stressed and makes us feel afraid and makes us feel like we're not safe. So I would encourage you to meditate. And some of the best practices, get a designated time that you do it and choose a designated place, because and be consistent and hang in there, because it takes a minute. If you're not used to doing it, it takes a minute. I used to be sleeping like 5 minutes after my mind would be running and running and running and running. And then the next thing you know, I'd be asleep. You can sit, you can lay, but make sure you're breathing and make sure your spine is aligned. But you don't have to have a special outfit to do it. You don't need a special pillow. You can do a candle or no candle, scented or unscented. All of that is irrelevant and immaterial. You can play music or not. You know, it's totally up to you. You'll have to find what works for you, but it's really worth it. And I would tell you to close your eyes to avoid distractions, because when you're looking around the room, if you're home, you'll be thinking about things that you need to do. Mindfulness is really important too. As you move into meditation, something that's really good to do, don't spend your time meditating and then go watch television for 45 hours and just kind of take yourself to another place. You want to watch the things that you're watching and the things that you're listening to and the things that you like. The news is probably not a good idea. Social media may or may not be a good idea. Depends on where it takes you. But when your life is good, I say meditate. And when your life is not so good, I say meditate. And the only wrong way to meditate, anybody know? Is not to do it at all. So can I count on you to activate your superpower number one and meditate? Yes. All right. Thank you for that. That's good. Now let's activate superpower number two. That's your imagination. And Patrick sang that song about imagination, and it's just such a wonderful topic. There was a comedian long, long, long time ago. I don't know if any old people are in here other than me. His name was Flip Wilson, and he used to say, what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. And that's true about imagination. Sonia Choquette, in the book I'm reading, said, we cannot create what we cannot imagine. Conversely, we always create what we do imagine. Isn't that something? The thing about all of these three superpowers today is you guys are already using them, but you just may not be using, you're using them in an unconscious way. Albert Einstein said, imagination is more important than knowledge. And that is exciting to think about from a person who was so smart. He said, imagination is everything. It is the preview of life's coming attractions. So what exactly is imagination? Well, it's the ability to create an idea or a mental picture form follows idea, right? And Neville Goddard talks about it, has so much to say about imagination. And he calls it the mind's eye or the eye of the mind. And he describes it as the esoteric visual faculty of God in man, which sees mental images into manifestation. And what that really means is that God creates through my imagination. Is that not cool? The reason that's cool is because we're talking about, like, God. Do you guys get it? Like, I don't know how big your God is, but my God is super, super, super big, right? And so when you consider that you can interact with that presence, that power, and then you opt out of it, or you dream small, there's no reason for it. Like, God creates through your imagination. That's how important you are. Florence Scovel Shinn talks about, in The Game of Life, the imaging faculty. And she says that imagination has been called the scissors of the mind, and it is ever cutting, cutting, day by day, the pictures we see. And sooner or later, we meet our own creation in our world, in our outer world. That's something to think about, because that means that when you look around, whatever you see, you put it there. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow, right? Paul always says, if you want to know what you believe, look at your life. I don't like it when he says that. It's like, ooh. Now, Emmett Fox talked about the mental equivalent. And I love that expression, the mental equivalent. And he says that we live in a mental world, not a material world. And what enters into our lives is the material expression of some belief that's in our own minds. So that means that whatever it is that we're seeing in our mind is what's showing up in our world. I believe as a human race that we hold these certain beliefs, like collectively we believe in war. Collectively we believe in dis-ease. Collectively we believe in poverty. Isn't that something? So if you would cultivate this practice in your life, you can be the person that can see peace. And if you can see it, and you can see it, and I can see it, then peace can become more evident in the universe. Emmett Fox says that the secret to demonstration is to build up the mental equivalent of what you do want, and to expunge, get rid of the mental equivalent that you don't want. And of course, that's a lot easier said than done. Now, we use the technique of creative visualization to bring our imagination forth. And I remember about 2 years ago when the women's soccer team won, right? The USA team. And I was so excited when I heard she was the team captain of the team, and she actually talked about how she was out practicing and had been running on the track, and she saw herself having so many goals. Like, I think she saw herself scoring four points. And when they asked her about how she felt the day that she actually won, you know how they ask the Olympian or the athlete, like, right after you win. And she said, it's crazy what the mind can do. And she talked about how she had seen herself scoring these points. And they actually won, and she actually did it. And it was something that has actually never been done before. She scored 3 points. There were 5 total points, but she scored 3 of those points, and that was amazing. What's so cool about your superpowers, this is what I think is so cool about it. It's not necessary to believe in metaphysics. You don't have to believe in spirituality. You don't even have to have faith in a power outside of yourself. You really don't. You don't have to understand it. The only thing you need to do is have a desire and a willingness to have an open mind to what it is you want to experience. It feels magical, but it's not magic at all. And it's not a miracle. It's not miraculous. It's something you actually get to do all the time. You're simply aligning yourself with the universal principles that govern the workings of the universe. And you're learning to use these principles in a conscious way. I think it's cool. We get to call those things that be not as though they were. We've heard that before, right? Well, you're actually in the driver's seat of your life, and this is what you get to do. I think it's exciting. Again, imagination is free, is easy, and is in your possession. And you're doing it anyway. I promise you that. Think about something you created in your life that went from like nothing, it didn't exist, and then it was in your hand. It might have been keys to a car. It might have been a relationship. I don't know what it was. But whatever it was, you created it. But I give you a hint. The truth is you created everything that's in your life, not just those things that you remember so vividly, right? You created it all. You're in the driver's seat. So your best practices are this. One, remember that what you see in your mind's eye will show up. Always be crystal clear about what it is that you want. See it, but you also got to see yourself with it. I remember a long time ago, there was a car that I had my eye on. An Alfa Romeo. Ooh, I wanted that car. And I could see it all the time in my mind. But I never got it because I wasn't seeing myself in the car. Other people had it, and I was seeing it like out picture, but I didn't have the keys to it because I never saw myself in it. It's important to activate your feelings when you're using your imagination. If you can feel it, then it's real. You actually get to act something out completely in your imagination. And the benefit of your subconscious is it doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined. So why not? You know, children do it all the time when they pretend. I say our imagination endows us with the power of creation. That's what it does. And we don't have to figure out how it's all going to come together. We just have to know that it will. So let's activate superpower number three. Superpower number three is your intuition. Your intuition. And the thing I like about these three powers is that they work well together. So you meditate, right? That's just you sitting, you having present moment awareness. And then you imagine anything you want to imagine. And then intuitively you get guided to it. So when we've done the other two superpowers, it opens your mind, it clears your mind, it opens your heart, it clears your heart. You get to set your intentions, and now your intuition tells you where to go. You end up running into the right people, and then your dreams get to come to fruition. It's really, really an exciting thing to know. And the thing to remember is everybody is intuitive, not just the psychics at the psychic fair at Phoenix and Dragon. You, too, are intuitive. We were born with it. We have it. It's part of our equipment. It's like a GPS, an internal GPS that we all have, right? But a lot of people are ignoring it. You know why? Because we live in a world that appeals to reason and logic. And everything is supposed to make sense. But make sense to who? You know? Well, let me tell you why I know you've used your intuition and that you have it. Number one, how many of you have ever had the vibe to check your oil before your engine oil light came on? Or you had a hunch to call somebody? Like, I think I'm going to call somebody. Or you thought about somebody and they called you. You might have been guided to leave a place or to go somewhere. You just got up and drove somewhere. You don't know why you went, but you did. You might even know the next song coming up on the radio and not just because they're playing it in rotation. You know, you just have a gut feeling about something. Have you ever looked at your phone or your watch and knew what time it was even though you didn't really know what time it was? Right? That's your intuition. And have you ever done this? Have you ever lost your keys? And you couldn't find them anywhere. And then when you got out of your own way, it was like, oh, I put them there. All of that is intuition. That's you being guided. Or you have a good vibe about somebody or not so good vibe about somebody. That's your intuition. I would tell you that it's underutilized. Most people don't use their intuition. They don't trust it. And let me tell you how you know when you trust it. Have you ever seen a parking space that was a good parking space, but you just decided you were going to go a little bit further, and then you got the first space? That's your intuition. That's you trusting your intuition. Think about it. In the beginning, man survived by his senses. Totally. That's how man hunted. That's how man chose a mate. That's how people survived, is appealing to their intuition. Your intuition is huge. And so it's important for you to cultivate it because you do need to know when you're using it and when you're not. It's important for you to understand how your intuition works for you. It could be a gut feeling. It could be a small, still voice that's talking to you. it's just you knowing something and you don't know how you know it, but you just do. Have you ever had that experience? Yes, we've all had that experience, but some of us have made it quiet. You know, we've suppressed it. We haven't allowed it to come forth. So how does it work? It informs us about things that we really don't know why we know the answer to those things. But the truth is, it connects you to a non-local awareness. Because remember, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And what that means is there's a non-local awareness that we are aware of that we may not be aware of physically, right? You may not have tangible results of something. But it frees you from wasteful anxiety. And what most of us have been trained to do is go ask other people, what do you think about this? Don't we do that? What do you think about that? When you know that your intuition is already telling you what to do. The difference is a head thing versus a heart thing. How many of you really trust your heart? I'm getting there. You know, because for so long we have been using our head to know stuff. You know, you read enough information. This is the information age. So you know enough in your head and you're like, no, logically that is not the next step for me. But then your heart is screaming, no, don't do it. We've all done it, you know. Oprah Winfrey said that the only times that she has really made mistakes in her life is when she didn't listen to her intuition. That's probably true for a lot of us, right? You know, you feel like your heart is not reliable, but studies show that your heart is reliable. You know, it is an organ that you really need to use. Now, the creative people seem to be very in tune with their intuition. Many years ago, I worked in New York in the entertainment industry, and it was very interesting to see the film directors and the fashion people and the people, the music moguls, just make snap decisions. I was always impressed with that. I'm like, wow. And some of those actors and actresses and musicians are now so famous. But when I saw them there performing, I would have never chosen those people. They weren't dressed right. They weren't standing up straight. You know, they weren't doing all those things that we think they should be doing. Intuition. Creative people tend to trust their intuition a whole lot more. The truth is that it's important to know that you can't lose this power, but you can ignore it, and you can deny it, and you can undervalue it, and you can mistrust it, and that's how you end up not using it. It's a good idea to tap into your intuition. So our three best superpowers are meditation, imagination, and intuition. And when it comes to intuition, it's always to ask yourself two questions when you have something you're facing. What does my head say? And let the answer come. And then ask yourself, after let all the answers come, because your head has a lot to say, because it's your ego, right? And then when all of that chatter has stopped, then you ask yourself, what does my heart say? And you get quiet. Steve Jobs said this, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. And he said that speaking to a group at Stanford University at a commencement. I think he knows a lot about imagination, right? It seems that he built his whole career using and trusting his imagination. So let's recap. We got superpower number one that we're going to activate, and that is meditation. That's actually sitting with God. Be still and know that I am God. Remembering that meditation is the medication that cures the illusion of separation, right? Then we're going to activate superpower number two. Your imagination, that's co-creating with God. So in meditation, you're sitting with God. In imagination, you're co-creating with God. With your intuition, you are being divinely guided from within. These are some wonderful superpowers. They are free. They are easy. They're in your possession. You were born with them. The deal is that when we come to self-realization, the God mind within you, the secret of life, the power to live, is within every single person. Every single person. Nobody is exempt from this. And yes, there is some never-sleeping presence within us that we have access to 24/7. You have access to this all the time, but you don't always access it. I don't know why. I know I don't either. But that's because we need to cultivate it so that it becomes second nature to us. I believe we're evolving to the Superman. or in my case, the Wonder Woman. We're evolving to the place where we can have everything we've dreamed of if we would just use these powers. They're easy to use. They're natural. I urge you to shift into a superpowered living life. Like, seriously, every day, spend time doing these three things. And they're easy to do. They don't take a lot of time at all. You can do them while you're doing something else, to be honest with you. We're born with these superpowers. And what they do is they take us beyond the world of the flesh. They take us to another place. We can have daily demonstrations in our lives using these things. They're so easy to do. Just like Superman and Wonder Woman fight the battle for mankind, you're going to need to fight the battle for yourself. And it's that internal battle that we all have. We all have it. I would tell you, let's stop the war. It's the war of all wars. That's what Wonder Woman said in the movie. I was like, check her out. The war of all wars is the war inside yourself, right? It's not something outside of you. The darkness, the evil, that's just your past haunting you. That's the life that you no longer want to live. In the war within yourself, you're stronger than you think you are. You have greater power than you know. You really do. You're stronger, you're greater, you're better. We all have superpowers. Everybody in this room does. And Science of Mind philosophy helps us to master the power of the mind. That's what attracted me to this teaching, right? And metaphysics in general is us understanding the power of our mind. When you're willing to create and maintain a consistent spiritual practice, what I can promise you is you won't regret it. You have God power in you. Just like Wonder Woman, just like Captain America, just like the Justice League, you got God power in you. I encourage you to be fierce. I encourage you to be great. I encourage you to be courageous, to be strong, and to remember that you can access it all the time. You are powerful. And that means that you're full of power. Think about it. You're powerful because you're full of power. Start today. Because the truth is, your dreams are waiting on you to come true. And if you're not going to be your true self, you're not going to get to really live the life you've always imagined for yourself. All you got to do is meditate. 3 minutes minimum, right? 3 minutes a day. That's not asking a lot. All you got to do is imagine. Imagine what you really want to imagine, not what your parents told you to imagine. Forget about these people who are not yourself. Think about yourself and think about what you really want, and don't be afraid to access what you really want. And then listen to your intuition, because it will truly guide you where you need to go. I am complete. Thank you. So we're going to do something a little bit different today with our prayer, with this treatment. Usually Paul does a closing treatment, but today I want to do a visual treatment. And the reason I want to do a visual treatment is because a lot of times we hear people talking about stuff, but we don't get to see them do it. I'm an experiential trainer, an experiential coach. I like to get in the game with you. I like to be there with you. So I want to do a visual treatment. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say some words and you can repeat after me. And the idea is, what I want you to see is how visualization really works, so that you can wake up your imagination, right? We always do the treatment the way we always do it. It's still a treatment, trust me. You can look it up in the book. It's still a treatment. But the reality is, it's a little bit different, because I want you to speak and I want you to be a part of this thing. Like, if you're not engaged, then why are we here? You know what I mean? You get it? Like me, I'm a doer. And I like to bring people in so we can all be doing it together. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. You can leave them open if you want to. Doesn't matter. Whichever you want to do. And I want to invite you to place your feet flat on the floor and just get comfortable. And what I want you to do is to breathe. Make sure you are breathing. Breathing is everything. And you're going to repeat these words after me, but we are doing a visualization treatment. I now enter into the theater of my mind. Your turn. And I look upon the stage of my imagination. And I see myself. I see myself in my imagination. And I am beautiful. There I am, healthy, strong, radiant, shining. The God present vibrates from me. I see myself youthful and strong, healthy from birthday to birthday to birthday. And now I see myself as a prosperous person. I see myself as a successful person. I see myself as a happy person. There's a smile on my face. I see myself loving and being loved. I am giving and receiving love. Thank you, Source, God the Good, Omnipotent, for this wonderful health, for this wonderful happiness, for this wonderful love, this wonderful success and prosperity. I rejoice because of it. And so it is. Thank you. You can open your eyes.